Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, this morning, God, we just want to praise your name, Lord. We just want to tell you we love you. And we just want to thank you for loving us back. God, I pray this morning that you would speak through me, you would use me as a vessel only, but that your words would come out. God, I pray that your message would be received with open ears and open minds and open hearts. Convict and correct where needed, Lord, and always encourage. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for Jesus, and we lift this message up, or this prayer up, in his holy name. Amen. All right, so school's getting ready to start. For some of the college kids, you know, Matt kind of talked about it. The college kids that have gone back or are going back, and I think they probably start next week. And Mount Gilead's in, and Galleon starts Tuesday, and then, of course, Northmore after the fair is going to be going back. So there's a lot going on in people's lives right now. And I've noticed there's a lot more sports being played. There's a lot more practices. There's a lot more games coming up. And so people's lives are getting even more busy and even more complicated, mine included. I always said I wasn't going to be that parent that, you know, one kid was on this field, and then we had to, like, go from that field to another field. And guilty. I did it. Now I feel your pain, because I always used to preach against you. Like, I don't know what's the matter with you people. Pick a sport and stay with it. I get it, you know, because you can't just force your kids to be something they're not. Anyhow, with that being said, the message or the title of the sermon today is Ready, Set, Go. We're going to be in 1 Peter. Picking back up in 1 Peter, we're going to be in chapter 1. We're looking at verses 13 through 25. And really, the first half of verse 13 will be more than probably the first half of the sermon. Because it just really, really, really speaks to what we need to do as Christians or as people, as parents, as however you want to approach this. You can glean a whole lot of wisdom from what we're about to see or what we're about to read. But I learned a trick from Judah Smith. If you don't know who he is, he's a mega church pastor. He said, read your entire scripture, because if your sermon stunk, at least you read scripture, right? So we're gonna read the entire scripture just in case it stinks. So we're starting out in 13. Mine's just a little bit different. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. There's a whole lot in this chunk of scripture. So let's do the simplest method. Let's go back and start from the beginning. Let's look at it. He says, therefore, so, you know, he's continuing on with what he had been writing about, born again of a living hope. And if you were here a couple weeks ago, you got to hear about this living hope that we have. And how we can find it through Jesus Christ, and how being born again is from heaven. You know, we talked about Jesus looking at Nicodemus and telling Nicodemus, you have to be born again, and how Nicodemus was like, I don't even understand what you're talking about. So we said that's being refreshed, renewed from heaven, from above. Okay, so now it says, therefore, preparing your minds for action. We still only have this one working. So prepare your minds for action. So Paul's taking some assumptions here already. Peter's taking some assumptions here with what he's written. He assumes that whoever he's writing to knows how to do that. That they know how to prepare their minds for action. And he gives us a little glimpse on the next one. It says, be self-controlled. Mine says, be sober-minded. But let's talk about it. How can we prepare our minds for action? Just look at your life real quick. What do you do on Sunday morning before church? How many of you get ready? Get ready for church. How many of you get ready to go to work? Get ready to go to the grocery. I mean, if you call somebody, what are you doing? I'm getting ready to do X, Y, and Z. Right? They're preparing. You're being prepared. On Sunday morning, we try to prepare our outer and inner beings for church. But we prepare before you come in the mornings. I hope you spend time in prayer, and I hope you spend just a little bit of quiet time with the Lord. You're kind of centering yourself. You're preparing your mind. You're preparing your soul for worship, for praise. And that's what Peter says here. He says, therefore, preparing your minds for action. He doesn't just say, prepare your minds. He says, for action. You have to be ready to do the action. We watched a movie this week. It was on Netflix. It's called Johnny. And it's sad. Don't watch it. It just really is. A little boy has cancer and he ends up dying. But anyhow, spoiler alert. I love doing that to y'all. No, but seriously, Johnny he's an inspirational little kid. And he memorizes these scriptures. And the person that's kind of taking care of him, he taught him this phrase. He says, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And so I've always kind of, when people tell me they've memorized scriptures, I'm good. That's good, but why? Why do you have all these scriptures memorized? So that you can use them in an argument well? Or so that you can recall them when you need to in your life? Those are two reasons Christians normally will memorize scripture. Other than Jesus said to, or God said to. But I will tell you that that is a way to prepare your mind for action. If you know what is written in the Word, and you're called to a time when you need to act on a situation, you will know how to act because you have taken time to prepare. You have prepared your mind for an action. It does you absolutely no good to know every word written in this Bible if you can't apply it to your life. If you can't apply it to a situation. Now, am I guilty of not doing that? Absolutely. I'm still a human being. I'm still a flawed human being. And there are times when I get anxious or I get nervous or I get upset. And I just deal with that as a human should. And then I always think about this verse. Is my mind prepared? Is my soul prepared for action? And that's what Peter's trying to encourage the readers. I told you before this is a circular, so it wasn't just kind of, it was kind of to a lot of people. I went to one church, they'd read it, and they went to another church, and they would read it, and so on. Prepare your minds for action. And it says, being sober-minded. The NIV says, self-control. Being clear-headed. Who thinks it's a good idea to make a decision or an action when you are foggy in the mind or not clear-headed or self-controlled? On a whim, that's a bad idea. I can just tell you right now, that's a bad idea. And as you mature, there's not a lot of immature people in here, but as you mature, those will come less and less often. Those those knee-jerk reactions, because your mind and your body has been prepared. So, just an accountability thing here. What are you doing to prepare your mind for action? Are you spending time with other believers? Are you spending time in the Word? Are you praying? Or are you doing your own Bible study? What are you doing? How are you preparing for action? Because at some point in your life, you're going to be called to action. You're going to be called to actually have to do this. You have to put this into movement. And if you don't, you miss an opportunity. It may be a big one. You know, we never know. We don't know. So then it says, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Has anybody ever said, I hope this happens? I hope I move Friday, just so everybody knows, I hope that happens. I texted my realtor and I said, hey, if I make it through this process with my sanity, it'll be a miracle. And you know what he texted back? He said, have faith. I said, you want to preach Sunday? Right, but he's right. I shouldn't have to hope on anything other than the grace that is given to me through Jesus Christ. Because I know that he is ultimately in control, and if it is his will for me to move on Friday, because whether I want to or not, that's what's going to happen. Right? He's provided for all of us thus far. Why would he stop? And he has provided the most important thing in the world, and that's the grace that is brought to us through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that is all we should need to hope into. And if you don't this morning hope into this grace or know what that even means, I would implore you, please come talk to one of us that you will see standing and before you later on. If you want to talk right now, I'll have somebody else come up here and stand. It's that important. We need to talk about this hope, this grace, this salvation that is through Jesus Christ. I want you to be able to put this into action. I want you to be able to be prepared. And he says minds, and that's just a loose translation. It's more about the inner self, okay? Prepare your inner self for action. And one way to do that is to be self-controlled. And another way is to set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Have you ever heard of the aha moment? That's the aha moment that he's kind of speaking of. He's like, aha, Jesus had grace. I didn't deserve it, but he did it anyway. Man, I can hope in that. All right, I hammered that one enough. We'll move on, because I don't think we'll make it through, but we'll work on it. So go to 14. It says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. What y'all say? As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So now Peter's given a warning. He said, hey, remember before your transformation, before you hoped in the grace and the revelation of Jesus Christ, remember how you acted? Don't go back to that. Don't conform to that. You were ignorant. You didn't know. It's okay to act out of ignorance. If you did not know, legitimately did not know, you didn't know any better. You know what? A child doesn't know any better until they're corrected. But once you're corrected, don't go back to that. That's what he's saying. He says, don't go back to living to those evil desires that you had before you knew about this hope and grace in Jesus Christ. Because you lived in ignorance. And it's a dirty word, ignorance. Most people cringe when they hear it. Because they connect it with stupidity. Yes and no, but if you're ignorant, you just don't know. But don't go back there. Don't act like you don't know when you know better, because that's the absolute worst, isn't it? Parents, can you attest to that? Isn't it the worst when your kids, they know better, and they did it anyway? I got to give myself a timeout before I got to go give them a timeout. You know, it's like, ah! Can you imagine what our Heavenly Father thinks? He's like, oh my gosh, why are you acting out of ignorance again? You knew better! That's what Peter's saying. He's like, don't do that. Be obedient, children. Do not conform to the evil desires. Don't go back. Do not regress. Go forward, go forward, go forward. And he continues, he says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." I've hammered this one, so we're moving on. If you've missed it, they're online. Go listen to them. You've heard, "Be holy, because he is holy." You know that, right? And he says, "Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time you are in exile." I wanted to talk about where it says fear. It says fear and reverent fear. I love that the NIV has added reverent fear. That word is not in there. Reverent is not in the Hebrew when it's written. But I like that addition, because most people, when you hear fear of the Lord or to fear God, they think I'm supposed to be afraid of him like Nathan is of clowns. They're just creepy, y'all. But anyway, that kind of fear, okay? But that's not what they're talking about. What Peter's saying in fear of the Lord is a reverent fear. It's more of a... Anybody in here afraid of your dad? I know some of your dads might be in here. What about if I said, any of you respect your dad in his ways? That's different, isn't it? Please don't be afraid of your dad.
If you are, come talk to me.
Especially not our Heavenly Father. We're to have a reverent fear, this respect, I just don't want you to look at him and say, "Oh, I have to be afraid of you," because how can you love and believe someone loves you if you're afraid of them? You can't. Not well. It'd be really, really tough. So just look at this in reverence. Does that make sense? You guys tracking? Okay. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without a blemish or a spot. I love the wording ransom. It's habit. I look over there. It's not there. Love the wording where it says you were ransomed. Because when I think of ransom, you were held hostage. And at some point, your soul was held hostage by the enemy. And Jesus, on the blood of Jesus Christ, he paid that ransom. He paid for you. He literally bought you, your soul, your freedom, and gave you an inheritance with him, with his Father. Just like a lamb without blemish or defect. Why is that important? Because that's the kind of sacrifices they had to make. Those were sin offerings. And they had to be perfect offerings. And Christ was. Christ Jesus' blood was the perfect offering, the perfect sacrifice for you. You were ransomed. You were bought at a price. You were bought at a cost. And it cost God his Son. And it cost Jesus his life. So those of you that are sitting there thinking you're not very important or you're not very special, the Creator of the universe died so that you could have eternal life. You're pretty special. You're pretty important. No matter what your neighbors or your friends or your family or however that you're made to feel, you are important. Because our Creator, the Word was with God. He died for you. He offered himself as a sacrifice. He took your sins and put them on his shoulders. He said, "I'm accountable for you." He's accountable for my children, my children's children, and their children. Until he decides to come back, he paid the price for each and every person and soul to be born. He did that. He died for us. He was foreknown before the foundation. I'm on 20. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So he did it for a reason. He did it not only for your salvation, but he did it for those that could have hope and faith in God. Hope and faith in God. having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. So I'm just going to stop at that comma, 22 there. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. So how did you purify your souls? You had obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and abiding word of God. You know another word for Jesus is logos, which also means word. I love how God will kind of hide little nuggets in there, because as you do more Bible study, and if you get all the way to where you're doing word studies, man, it just opens up a whole new world for you. It says, through the living and abiding word of God. You've been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable seed. Have you ever heard of the Bible being referred to as the living word of God? Yeah. This is an imperishable seed. This will not die. This is the living word of God. It will continue on way after me. It has continued way before us. It will keep going and keep going and keep going until when? Until he decides to come back and everyone's heard it. Everyone's had an opportunity. Do you want that to happen? Do you want him to come back? Absolutely you do. My goodness, is it going to be scary? Absolutely it is. Are we going to be prepared? I hope so. That's why I'm here, preparing your mind for action. Preparing your soul for action. It's one thing to say, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, until you are put in an opportunity or a position where you have to show that. And you have to say, I love him to death. I agree with Matt. I don't think in our time we're going to have to die in America for our belief. I think you'll be persecuted other ways. I may be wrong, so don't just hold me to that. Nathan says you can't do this. You can't. You can't behead me. Nathan said this wasn't going to happen. That holds no weight, right? But that's just my thoughts. I don't think that's going to happen. Not in America. Not in our time period. Again, I'm not a prophet, so just be prepared for it, just in case. I always like to just prepare for the worst case. That way, I'm not let down, right? If something not so bad happens, all right, I'm good. But you have to start today for tomorrow. Does that make sense? I can't just go out, not at my age, and play a sport to its fullest. I have to prepare. I have to go start running. I have to start whatever, you know, it needs to be. I have to prepare. And so to do that, to prepare our mind, go back. Would you guys go back to 13 for me? Just real quick. I thought I was done with it. It keeps coming back to me. To prepare my mind, my body for action, I need to be self-controlled. And that can mean a whole lot of things. That can mean your response to something negative. That can mean you're getting up a half an hour early for your devotions. That can mean you're even just taking your lunch break to pray and to read your Bible. Whatever that means for you, there has to be some discipline there. There has to be some self-control there. And as you start to do it, you'll want to do it more. And eventually, your life will be consumed by service to God. Not a bad thing. There are worse things that have happened to you in your life than you have prepared so much that your entire life is a service to God. You know, there's a lot of people that we're sending overseas as missionaries, and you know what the preparation work they're getting? Depends on which company they go with. Some of them are, oh, hey, you want to go to Africa? Good. Raise money. I don't feel like they're equipped. In other companies, it's good, let me disciple you. Let me get you ready. You know, so we have to be careful with that. But even if just, you know, you don't have to go overseas to be a missionary. Do you guys know that? You can go next door. And if you want to go next, come to my next door. I need help. I'm teasing.
They're kind of.
I love them. But we don't have to be this title to put our faith into action, to show that we're prepared. And you don't have to be on TV. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a preacher. You can be just any old body who loves Jesus and is ready to show that, to enact that. And I can tell you, what you do in this building today does not reflect to the world what you do outside of this building. Does that make sense? Your actions outside of this building speak a lot louder than when you're in here, I guess is another way to put it. Our faith in action means more than just coming here Sunday morning and praising. Okay? That's all I'm going to say about that. I feel like Forrest Gump. That's all I got to say about that. Go back 24 for me, please. 24, and then we'll wrap it up. He says, all flesh is like grass, in all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. The flesh is like the grass, and all of its glory like the flower of the grass. So our outside, our exterior, our bodies will continue to deteriorate, will continue to get worse and worse. And so will the glory of this body. Does that make sense? So will our glory of our outer. We're going to just get looking bad. That's okay. Because why? The word of the Lord remains forever. So we're not concerned about what's out here as much, because that will continue to deteriorate and get worse. What I'm concerned about is what's on the inside, the soul. Is the soul growing? Is it prospering? Is it bearing fruit? Is it getting excited for the Lord? And if so, if it is, what's it doing about that? Is it bursting? Is it sharing? Is it loving? Is it growing? Is it ready for action but doesn't know where to direct that action? I love those people. Man, you know, you get somebody that's on fire, they just don't know where to direct it, and you can just come alongside them and say, hey, if you're at our church, here's where we need help serving. And then just watching them find their niche and just take off. Maybe you're one of those people. We have a lot of ministries here at the church. Come talk to us after. We'll get you plugged in. There's a lot of ways we can serve. There's a lot of ways we can put that into action. And that's our intention. Our intention is to grow one another to a point where we can get outside of these walls together and we can really put that into action, and we can really, not even evangelize, but just love our community. Our community just has a lack of love for other than themselves. And I don't mean to be judgmental, it's just what I see outsider coming in. You know, I've been here just a year and a half, and I just see that people just kind of take care of themselves. Okay, but now we're here. Right? And we're not just taking care of ourselves. We want to help take care of them. We want to share our hope in the blood of Jesus Christ with them. But it takes some preparation work. It takes a little time. It takes a little effort. It takes you to be self-controlled and disciplined. So I would challenge you this week to find that discipline. Find that self-control. Prepare your mind in a different way than anything you've ever done before and see if it works. Try a different way to prepare your mind, to prepare your soul for action. We spend more time preparing for an action than we do performing that action. So you'll be ready when you need to be. Okay? That's all I got. We're going to pray. Right? Oh God, I thank you so much just for giving us your word. Lord, I pray this week that as we come to you in our quiet times, as we come to you in devotion, as we just come to you in praise, and for whatever reason we come, Lord, that you would quiet our minds, and that you would let us feel your presence. I thank you for being able to guide us through our stages of life. Lord, I pray that you give us a spirit that walks alongside or wants to walk alongside each other and encourage and build up so that we can really put our faith into action. But Lord, I pray that you continue to prepare us for that. As always, God, I thank you for Jesus, and I lift this prayer up in his name. Amen. So I'm going to bring the guys down here. We're going to be willing to pray with you. If you are sitting here this morning and everything I just said, you have no idea what I just said. It happens. Come up. I'll give you the cliff notes. If you want them right now, I said be ready because there's an action coming. There it is. All right. But seriously, if you're here this morning and you don't have that hope in the blood of Jesus, please don't leave here without talking to someone about it. We're not going to point at you. We're not going to call you names. We're not going to make fun of you. We just really want to share with you why it is that we can hope in our Lord and Savior, and how you could also hope in our Lord and Savior. So these guys are going to sing because they're way better than me. We'll be down here to pray. So if you would stand up.